Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And Brian Keller is on his way to Hawaii to get married.
I know, that baller.
Yeah, very exciting. So a lot of tears being shedded by the ladies.
I know.
And his jersey is going to be retired. Playa. Yeah,
it's and hopefully he'll hand me his little black book and, you know, pass the torch.
Yeah, it's more of an Encyclopedia Britannica, but should be good. And let's go ahead and get started. Our first story is a fun one, and one I just hot off the presses saw from CIS, which is Microsoft Research shows off a Luma Room. And the idea behind this is you're in your living room, lights are out, there is a projector with a Kinect, and you can actually map the room, and then what you can do is distort the images. So you're playing here, and you can actually project parts of the images above and beyond, so your ground becomes a play area. You can, it looks awesome. Yeah. You really have to see the video. Like, I feel like us trying to describe it is
bad, but it was an awesome video proof of concept, just showing what you could do for immersive gaming, and just even past that, what's possible. Like, you saw distortion effects in it. It was cool. It was definitely cool, and different styles of gameplay as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the coolest parts was, like, there's a power up on the ground, and, like, literally as it's moving on the TV, you see it from the background behind the TV, then go to the TV, and then actually look like it's on the ground. Like, you almost wanted to pick it up.
I think some of the ones at the beginning, like, you saw gunfire kind of, it was the TV, but then you had gunfire going through, so it gave you that extra little dimension.
It's a minute 17. Spend the time to watch it, because you're going to, as I say, shut up and take my money. So our next story. Now, what is this, Mr. Clint?
Okay, so the big thing is, if you're running a release candidate for Visual Studio or TFS 2012, come January 15th, they will run out. The functionality will cease to function. Please upgrade. I mean, when you installed it, you knew that this date would eventually come.
It's the reminder of, oh, geez, we're still on 2012 RC.
Yeah, oh, geez, you have 5 days to upgrade.
Yeah, and the TFS 2012 love continues with Brian and Harry, and this is almost a tribute to Brian Keller. But the next thing is GitTF. So, for example, to be able to use our GitTF tools, we've now launched an update that allows you, and it does work for Team Explorer Everywhere and TFS SDK for Java as well. So if you want to use GitTF to talk to Visual Studio, you got to be able to use this, and that's GitTF 2.0.1. And one of the reasons they did this is, again, you can go into your account and set the basic authentication, but basic authentication needed Realm support or for certain clients. So there's a bunch of things that they had to do in there, but this should just work.
Yeah.
Again, if you're using Git and Team Foundation Server together, this is the tool to have.
Let's go to the next story.
And
another tribute to Brian Keller, an article by Brian Keller. OData Services for Team Foundation Server V2. They're releasing the beta for OData Services. And the big cool thing here is it basically will allow multiple device types, such as smartphones and tablets and different operating systems, now to talk to TFS, because you can actually get access to the data. Mm-hmm. And what's even better is one of the people on DPE built out the...
Our team, Nisha Singh.
Nisha built out the Windows Store application TFS dashboard using this OData service.
Yeah, and it's a Windows Store app, so the idea is you get a bunch of different data types that you can have, and pinnable windows, so, like, you have certain projects you want to do, or just your bug count instead of
and then it has
team
live
bug count.
Tile, search, share, then, you know, basically the entire kit and caboodles.
Yeah, this is awesome. Very cool stuff. And kudos to Nisha on the app, too. So our next story is actually another fun one, and Greg Duncan, of course, finding this through the Visual Studio Gallery. So what you see in this picture is a zoomed-in view, a visualization of a source tree. So the cool part is, and again, one of my favorite parts is having shell integration. And by that I mean, like, if you do the right-click and, you know, compress this file or whatever.
Okay.
This is right-click, I'm in my source control. I can say right click and visualize. So it's that easy. I don't need to run a command. I don't need to open up another app. It's just right there.
But I like running commands.
Yeah, you're foolish. Sorry, I need to run from an administrator prompt. Oh, sorry, you don't have the right path. So then I need to link up the path to the TBL file. Sorry, that also has a dependency, which was in a subdirectory.
And you right don't have the right version of the tooling and a sub tool. Yeah, good times.
Yeah, so right click, and you get a beautiful visualization. So, and I actually really like how they're doing the visualization in terms of the just the light source as well. So, which is the Gorse tool project for the actual visualization. So, cool stuff. Definitely check it out if you're looking for a fun visualization. Send around your team on how you're using TFS source control.
Awesome.
So, next story. What's this?
Next story is Apache
Cordova.
Cordova. Thank you for pronouncing that for me. AKA PhoneGap. And they officially released Windows Phone 8 support. This was announced back at Build, but they just released it. The cool thing, the Windows Phone 8 support does have some requirements such as Windows 8 Professional, along with Visual Studio 2012 and the Windows 8, Phone 8 SDK.
So there's a tutorial on Channel 9.
Yep. And, you know, check it out.
Cool. Very cool stuff.
Yes.
And Meph Series.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out how to actually pronounce his name. Mr. Ishet, I'm going to go with that, has a Meph 2.0 series based on community requests for what's going on. And there's,
and for people who don't know, Meph is?
Managed Extensibility Framework. So you can build out objects that then can get sucked into your program. It's pretty cool. I think Coding for Fun has one or two examples of applications that use MEF or Meph. And the cool thing that he's talking about now is what wasn't available in 1.0, a bunch of like open generics you couldn't do in 1.0, but you can do it in 2.0, where you can actually use generic objects to say, hey, I have, you know, my extension management of type T. Before, you had to create a wrapper object around that and say manage extensions of int. Now you can just use the generic.
Cool.
And then he has a 7-part series. He has 2 parts already posted. So if you want to learn more and brief little descriptions, check it out.
Very cool. Now, this is a simple one, but Smashing Magazine always comes out with very cool icons. These are original high-quality icons available from 16 by 16 to 64 by 64. And again, they're very cool, simple icons for you to use. And, of course, the PSD source, which is great. So, you know, maybe you're building a Windows Store app with JavaScript. You can be able to use this for, say, your cloud down, cloud up. And having the PSD source then allows you, for example, you can change the background color.
Yeah.
Start choosing those, maybe add your accent color, whatever you want.
Yeah. Hopefully they're done in vector on PSD, because then you can actually, they scale and they won't distort, or scale up without distorting.
Sure.
And then if you guys haven't heard of the Noun Project, check them out. They have some pretty good icons as well. Just, you know, check it out as you're jumping around there.
Yes. So back to our next story, which is updates to Windows Azure SDK.
So the big thing here is it gives you .NET 4.5 support, which then allows you to use things like all the new async capabilities, WebSocket support,
Windows Server 2012 support as well, right?
I was going to get there.
Sure.
As they say, OS Family 3. But yeah, so it gives additional performance enhancements, et cetera, et cetera. Check it out. Yeah.
All right, cool. And next story is Code Academy. So Code Academy, we've covered before. It's sort of a live interactive way to code, where you're typing in, for example, JavaScript. It'll tell you if you missed a semicolon and so on. And the big announcement here that they've made is they've actually built a series of tutorials that walk through using wrappers and APIs. So the idea is I can make an HTTP call to open a request to a web page, make sure that request went through, read data from that request, and the idea is showing like simple JSON parsing with, say, YouTube to get their top videos.
Cool.
So definitely some cool stuff, and they're doing a bunch of things around how do you use these APIs. So the idea is getting somebody not just building these sort of hello world or, you know, what is your name? My name is Dog, the bounty hunter. And instead of that, like actually showing how to use APIs, and it's like, oh yeah, I can take YouTube and NPR and maybe mash them up. So that is Code Academies.
Awesome.
And then lastly, it's our pick
of the week.
It's a dual pick of the week, and of course it's Elisa and Brian are getting married.
Aww.
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 So congratulations,
yes,
Brian.
Yes, congrats.
And we shall be joining you in Hawaii soon.
Cool. Well, have a good week.
Thanks, everyone.